Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke.
Because I loved you before, you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now, rid of the shackles, my victory is yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason at a distance anymore. You're not far from home, and I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy. Just throw off your fear and come running to me. Oh, 'cause I loved you before, you knew it was the love, and I saw it all. Still, I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now, rid of the shackles, my victory.
Hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only become part of the story. And oh, as you run, what hindered love will only
Bethany Hour. Thank you for taking time to join with us this morning as we look to the Word of God for spiritual direction and its practical application to our lives. Stay tuned. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Route 57 and Main Street. Our Sunday morning services are at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Our contemporary nightlife service is at 6 p.m. Wednesday evening is family night at Bethany with activities and instruction for our children, teens, and adults, all beginning at 7 p.m. For more information about these services and other activities at Bethany, log on to our website at www.bethany-ag Bethanyhour.org.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Luke. We're in chapter 19. Those of you who have been following along, we certainly hope you got a cup of coffee in a nice, comfortable chair, and your Bibles are open.
How about a cinnamon roll? It's Sunday morning. Can I have a cinnamon roll?
Yes, you can have it. You can have it. As long as you have some of that nice white
frosting
on the cinnamon. Oh. Yeah, I had a lady that she was a real prayer warrior, and she always had a great prayer meeting, and man, she can make the best cinnamon rolls. They were just amazing.
There's a beautiful restaurant in Albuquerque called the Frontier Restaurant, and they make them probably about 8 inches high and 10 inches round. It's this big, huge cinnamon roll. One of them could feed like, you know, four people.
But that's nice when you get a big one like that.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff. Mm.
So anyway, Jesus is in the temple, and it says, there he entered the temple area, and he began driving out those who were selling. You know, Jesus was not very happy when people were making money at the temple.
Yeah, you know, they obviously this is a cultural thing that was happening there. They had to exchange money for temple money, and they were selling, you know, sacrificial animals, and poor people were having to come in and pay exorbitant prices. And so they were really, you know, just kind of gouging the people at the time.
This is called really one of his first public acts of ministry here, when he drives out those people who are gouging, like you said, the house of God. And these ungodly, greedy people, destroying the true spiritual purpose. And I think sometimes that's what happens when people are greedy. It has become selfish, and it's certainly that is not the original intent of spiritual life is to be greedy.
No, it definitely isn't. We're supposed to be selfless
and
not selfish.
Yeah. So here he's cleansing the temple in this particular first act, and indicates how important the spiritual lessons really are for us, because Christ, he's looking at our life, and he certainly doesn't want us to be greedy. He doesn't want us to be taking advantage of anyone. No. And his goal is for us to become holy, because that's what God says, be holy, because I'm holy.
And there's a great reverence for the temple. Obviously, the Jewish people had a great reverence for the temple, because that's where God showed up. That's where God made his presence known. It was a place of holiness, and Jesus definitely wanted to keep it a holy place.
And that's really what church is to some degree. I mean, there are we're kind of cautious here at Bethany. We don't allow people to come into church and act ungodly. We don't ask them. We ask them to understand this is the house of God. And when you come in, you want to come in and worship in spirit and truth. You don't want to come in here just for some selfish reason. And Jesus condemned people who would use the church or the kingdom for personal gain, for glory. I know as a missionary, we would meet in places that we rent, and oftentimes they were businesses, and they had a hallway by the elevator, and you could come up the elevator and then come into one of the large rooms where we had for meeting rooms. And we had some people that began coming in and bringing their own displays and selling jewelry and selling all kinds of things, you know, on the side.
Yeah.
And so we had to go out and actually ask them to move, but it took a while because they didn't want to go. And they said they're not hurting anybody, but they were there for their own selfish reasons. They weren't coming to church for any other reasons.
Wow.
And then one time we were renting the train station downtown Taipei, like 12 million people, and there were like 12 elevators, and we were on the sixth floor. And it was a long hallway to get to the auditorium, and it sat about 1,200 people. And in the hallways, we found the same thing happening. People were setting up their little things and selling everything in the world you could think of. And I never turned any of the tables over, but eventually we moved them out. It took us a lot of time. But this is something I think that people probably put up with all the time.
Yeah.
And I think we recognize that the Pharisees must have either gotten a cut of this, or they were allowing this to happen so that the money changers or whoever these were selling, they could sell the right animal that was supposed to be sacrificed, or they could exchange the coin that you had for the correct coin that was supposed to be used for the house of God. And so they were making money on both of them. Somebody's making a lot of money on this. And so Jesus is upset, and he says, "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers."
Yeah. can you imagine Jesus coming in and just, who knows how long.
Forever this has been going on.
This has been going on. And when you try to change things, whether it's in a church or the temple or whatever, there's a ripple effect, and it flows, you know, it goes out pretty quickly. And here Jesus just takes the historic buying and selling and changing the money. People knew what was going to happen. You didn't want to haul the animal all the way there. You could buy one. Why haul one? Yeah, we've got to go to temple. But here Jesus totally, flips the tables and breaks the tradition that has been there so long. But he does it, and he points out why he's doing it. This place is supposed to be a holy place, a prayerful place, but something is happening in here that should not be happening, and he says it needs to stop, and it needs to stop now.
They may not even have recognized what they were doing wrong, because they were providing a service.
Right.
They had animals that were raised in Bethlehem that were special temple lambs that would be used for the sacrifice, and like you say, there were people coming from all over the world, and they may not have the correct coin, so they had to be changed into the right coin so that they could give it. So they probably didn't have any idea what they were doing, but Jesus understood that this is happening inside of the temple area. So it's not something that's outside the temple area. It's actually in the temple area. So Jesus sees this right away, and when he says this, I would imagine he looked right up at a bunch of Pharisees standing on the steps watching everything, and he says, "You've made it a den of robbers. You've allowed all of these people to come into my house and do this." Now, can you imagine? My house.
Yeah, this is my house.
I mean, that must have blew him away right away.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean it's your house?
My house. My house. Boy, I didn't even notice that. My house.
What do you mean this is your house?
Wow.
You know, you're just some carpenter from
Nazareth.
And here we are. Yeah. This is our house. This is not your house.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, wow.
This is my house.
You know, once again, right there, there's a clarification that Jesus is associating himself with God, with deity. He's affirming his deity, who he is, what he came to do, my house. I think the first time he may have done this at the beginning of his ministry, you know, maybe my father's house, but now he's calling it my house.
Wow.
That would be an interesting study to look at.
It would be exactly when he actually declares, "This is my house."
This is my house. And you know, like you said, here at Bethany, we call this the house of God. This is the house of the Lord because we've dedicated it to him. It's his place where we want him to, we want to come into his presence, because this is where he doesn't dwell here, but we've dedicated this place to the worship of the Lord, and we want his presence to dwell here. So we do recognize this as his house, and we want it to be as holy as we can.
But if the pastor stood up and yelled at somebody and said, "Get out of my house," that might take a little bit getting used to. That would be a little difficulty.
And like you said, the Pharisees probably looked at it as
their house. That's true.
And so immediately Jesus just sets himself up and you know, for issues, you know.
But generally speaking, in all reality, people, at least in America, have looked at the house as the house of God. When they come in, they recognize that. Now, some of them take advantage of it. They may wear a hat that may be something that they probably shouldn't do. They may wear clothing that's a bit risque. But generally, you don't see somebody coming into the house of God smoking a cigar. You don't watch them walk down to the altar with a cigarette in their mouth. Right. Puffing away. Right. They're generally at least understanding to some degree this is a holy place, and they want to recognize that. But here, these people were actually in the house and taking advantage of it, doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And every day, it says he was teaching at the temple. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the leaders among the people, they were trying to kill him. Oh. You know, we don't really think about this sometimes. I think that there are people today that they protest, and I think if they could, they could kill somebody. I think they have murder in their heart.
Yeah.
I think it's there. But these are supposed to be people who teach law, they teach God's messages. They're leaders of this kind of a religious organization. And here, they're trying to kill him. Now, that says something to me about the influence, because I don't necessarily think that could come from just themselves. It is spawned deep within them, and I have to believe that it is an influence of Satan, who really has come to destroy and kill. And here, they'd love to kill the Son of God.
You know, it definitely points to the work of Satan, because we know that Jesus declares in another moment that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life. And here are these religious leaders that should have recognized. That's the crazy thing to me, is they should have recognized it. They should have put all the pieces together and asked him, where have you come from, and who are you? And they should have been recognizing all these people are following him. There's got to be something about this man. For him to come in and to have the nerve, the audacity to turn these tables over. We have been doing this for years, decades, who knows how long. And he comes in here and claims this to be his house. And all these things that Jesus did, I would think they would step back and they would look at each other and say, okay, what's going on here? What are we missing? But in their hearts, they're just focused on wanting to kill him, because the people are following him. He's doing stuff that we've never seen anybody do before. And they get jealous, they get envious, and that rage just starts to bubble over in them, and they want to kill him. Like you said, that is definitely a spiritually spawned issue in their hearts.
Yeah, deep down inside, I think when Jesus questioned the authority of the chief priests, that's one of the key things.
Yeah.
When you question the authority of an individual, especially when they feel like they are the authority.
Right.
And here he questions them, and they're offended by the fact that Jesus condemned their practices, what they're doing. He condemned these things that they were actually doing, like you say, for who knows how long they were doing this. Yeah. He condemns it, and they're questioned right away. And so here we have Jesus coming in. And I wonder, when you think about people, even in America today, what you do with Jesus. And here, this is the real crux of this matter, what you're going to do with Jesus. Yeah. He comes in, he questions their authority, he makes a statement about who he is, and what do you do? How do you receive him? Do you actually look and maybe say he is who he said he is, or do you try to destroy that and whatever he is? And that's what's happening in the world. The world wants God out of our society. They want to kill everything that has to do with God. And so we're making a choice in our society in America today. You're either going to accept the fact, or at least to examine the fact of who Jesus is, or you're going to try to kill him.
Yeah, it definitely...
It's what's happening.
In culture right now.
Right now.
There is definitely an anti-Christ spirit that's out there.
Yeah.
It's been around for 2,000 years.
Yes, and there it is here.
And so it's nothing new to us, but like you said, this America was founded on biblical truth.
True.
Was Christians who were being persecuted from Europe, and they came over here and they founded this nation, albeit they didn't do everything perfectly when they set it up, but it was still built on the truths of Scripture. But right now, anything and everything that can break from that tradition, from godliness and from the Bible and from truth and from a great society that was built, literally the greatest, that every other nation wants
everywhere
to get here and be a part of this because of the truth we were built on. But if we continue to go the route we're going, this nation is going to crumble and nobody's going to want to come here, because this Bible and the truth of this Scripture is such a firm foundation that we could build an amazing nation in a few hundred years and have such great prosperity and become a world power. And all this, if you just look back at it, how it happened, God's hand was on it. But when we start to push God away, we're going to see things crumble.
Yeah, and Jesus uses the authority that he has been giving, really. He uses it for the sake of truth, for righteousness.
Right.
And it cost him his life. It's basically what happens. But we find today there are so many people that they just seem to tolerate the the untruths of life. Yeah. They seem to practice evil, allow evil, and they seem to prosper, and they seem to do what they want to do. They participate in all of this craziness. It's just like when you're trying to protest. Instead of protesting, they're actually destroying property. They're actually doing things that are absolutely, it's outside of every law you would think of, and it's acceptable. And so here, we're finding today this same thing that's happening. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun, you mentioned before. And so here, yet they do all this and they're trying to kill him, and yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his word. So we got half the people believing, half the people are against them. Boy, I tell you, it's just like what's happening today.
It definitely is. You know, there's
something else.
There's this group that when this man speaks, he speaks as one who has authority, not as the Pharisees or their religious leaders. When they speak, they speak, but
for their own advantage.
Exactly. But when Jesus speaks, there's something behind it. And we know that it's his deity, it's his godness qualities. And the people are just hanging on. And once again, the Pharisees, the leaders, the teachers of the law, they're jealous because Jesus is pulling in these big crowds. And then they're trying to kill him, but they can't get to him. The crowds are just surrounding.
I love that.
And
they can't get to him.
Yeah.
You know, and I look at that today, and I'm saying that I think that the church and the religious right stood up in this election that we had in the United States. They actually stood up. And I think people did hang on the truth of the fact that we're looking for a society that is biblical. We're looking for a society that has common sense, that's not politically correct or whatever it is. So the people stood up. And there is a group of people that are trying to destroy this kind of America. And I'm really grateful for the fact that it says they couldn't do it. And I'm really grateful for that fact. Amen. And I'm hoping that's what happens as we get closer to the end of times, that the truth that's found in God will become more relevant, more apparent to people, and that they would hang on the words of God and come back to the altar, back to their place where they find the truth. And so that's really what Bethany's all about. We really want you to understand that there are two ways to live, and Jesus is the right way.
Amen. You know, for 110 plus years, Bethany has been here pointing people to the foot of the cross, to an altar, to find Jesus, to hang on his words, if you will, and to listen to the words of Jesus. And it's a great, great decision you can make.
Yeah. And when you come to Bethany, you'll find out his presence is here.
Amen.
He's in this temple.
Amen.
You can sense it.
Amen.
And so we invite you to come. Please join us 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock for a contemporary service, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So many things happening during the week, but please come and join us. This is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. God bless you.